5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Your body is your own. Planned Parenthood believes everyone should have the freedom to make decisions about their health, including abortion, whenever and wherever they need it, today and every day. Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies. Whether you need STI testing, a treatment, birth control, gender-affirming care, cancer screenings, or abortion, Planned Parenthood is there for you and all of us. But some lawmakers want to force their personal beliefs on everybody else. They're pushing bills to block people from getting sexual and reproductive care. They're cutting access to reproductive health care, trying to block coverage for birth control, promoting abstinence only until marriage programs, and attacking Planned Parenthood. They're trying to defund Planned Parenthood through the Trump bill right now. The government wants more control over our bodies, decisions, and futures. Right now, millions of people are at risk of losing access to care. Planned Parenthood believes healthcare is a human right. And together with people like you and me, they're fighting every day to build a future we deserve, one where everyone can get the care they need, no matter who they are or where they live. Supporters like you power this work. Donate to support Planned Parenthood now at plannedparenthood.org/protect. That's plannedparenthood.org/protect.
Los Angeles, welcome to Love It or Leave It live at Dynasty Typewriter. Thank you all for being here. We have got a great show for you. Larry Charles is here. It's got million-dollar stories. We've got some $10 jokes. Then Chinedu Inaka and Adam Lustack join to test out their news knowledge. And then we wrap it all up with our latest and greatest rants. But first, let's get into it. What a week. As a terrifying rampage was unfolding in Minnesota, and before the suspect had been caught, Republican senator and shitposter Mike Lee from Utah ran to X to blame the left for the violence, wrote Lee in one tweet with a photo of the suspect. This is what happens when Marxists don't get their way. So close. New York City Mayor Andrew Cuomo is what happens when Marxists don't get their way. In reality, the suspect is a religious conservative who attended Trump rallies and whose other targets appear to include dozens of prominent Democrats and abortion rights advocates. And since he remains in custody, I'll add this, not much of a dresser. Got him. An hour after that first tweet by a sitting U.S. senator, Lee returned to seemingly blame or mock Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, writing over an image of the assassin, Nightmare on Walt Street. Not the biggest problem with this post, but it's Nightmare on Elm Street. The term is Wall Street. He could have said Wolf of Wall Street, right? Wolf of Wall Street. That would have been, I mean, it still would have been incomprehensible and vile at the same time. Like, the intent not clear, but obviously disgusting. But too many steps, just terrible structure. But some people can post, some people can. I'm sure Mike Lee has many other talents, like ruining the vibe when his wife's friends are over. The post prompted outrage and calls for Lee's resignation. And on Monday, Minnesota Senator Tina Smith confronted Lee directly.
I wanted him to know about the consequence of his words. And I went to him and I said, you know, your message on social media showed the image of the man who killed my friend. Potentially minutes before that happened. And your message was, this is what happens. You need to take responsibility and accountability for what you are saying and doing out there in the social media world.
Fuck him up, Tina. And Tina had support. She was playing good cop Klobuchar cop. Because then Mike Lee had to face the final boss, which is looking Senator Amy Klobuchar in the eyes. After that second conversation, Lee deleted the post. Mike Lee was later spotted at a local church basement in D.C. attending a weekly meeting of SODAC, Survivors of Disappointing Amy Klobuchar. People come, they tell their stories, they feel connected to a community. I didn't have a fork. It's okay. Days before nuclear talks were set to resume in Oman, Israel launched an attack against Iran's nuclear facilities and leadership, setting off an escalating conflict in the region. Now we must hope for cooler heads to prevail over, it says here, Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, and Ayatollah Khomeini. So not great. On Tuesday, Trump declared on Truth Social that we now have complete and total control over the skies of Iran and called for Iran's unconditional surrender. No. That sucks. Stop it. We also learned that Trump was preparing for strikes against Iran, which the Pentagon described as defensive and which may also be a threat to pressure Iran to make concessions. So hopefully it's the kind of preparation that ultimately proves unnecessary, like bringing an umbrella on a hike or writing a segment for the drag queen you've booked. A very specific joke. Kills amongst the producers of Love It or Leave It. The possibility... The possibility that Trump might drag the U.S. into Israel's war with Iran has opened up a massive rift among conservatives. In fact, here's Tucker Carlson opening up a massive rift in Ted Cruz.
How many people live in Iran, by the way?
I don't know the population.
At all?
No, I don't know the population.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple?
How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah,
How could you not know that?
Ted Cruz, so ignorant, not like us. Everybody in this room knows the population of Iran. Can't prove we didn't. It's like that. You can't. We all knew it. Fucking idiot. It's like that moment when Godzilla stops killing an entire metropolis full of people to turn his sights on killing another bigger, dumber beast. And it's like, go Godzilla, I guess. But it's nice to see Tucker Carlson take a break from sticking a feather in his cap and calling it macaroni. That really means I don't know what a Yankee Doodle Dandy is, but I'm pretty sure Tucker Carlson is a Yankee Doodle Dandy. The pair also sparred over Cruz's relationship with AIPAC, the pro-Israel lobbying group.
AIPAC, I wish, were much more effective. Like, they're folks
online who are in the fever swamp of
AIPAC, and AIPAC.
I'm not terrified of AIPAC at all. You're the one who seems a little uncomfortable when I'm asking.
No, not uncomfortable at all.
I'm just asking.
Just kiss already. That exchange about AIPAC led to this heated moment.
You're not talking about Chinese. You're not talking about Japanese. You're not talking about the Brits. You're not talking about the French. The question, what about the Jews?
Oh, like, I'm an anti-Semite now. It's interesting you're trying to derail my questions by calling me an anti-Semite, which you are.
I did not.
Of course you are. And rather than be honorable enough to say it right to my face, you are sitting in a sleazy feline way implying it.
He wants to call him a bitch. It has the same energy of the moment when Hercule Poirot says, "Aha, poison, a woman's weapon." You know what I'm saying? Tucker Carlson isn't the only Trump supporter feeling betrayed. Podcaster Dave Smith had this to say about Trump's approach to Iran.
I supported him this last year. I apologize for doing so. It was a bad calculation. At the time, it seemed like the right one. Donald Trump should be impeached and removed for this. All of his supporters should turn on him. It's the absolute betrayal of everything that he ran and campaigned on and everything that he stood for.
Sure. But the most important thing that Donald Trump stands for is that he doesn't stand for anything. The 2024 election was like that riddle about the two doors. In front of one door was someone who always lies, and then in the other door, it was blocked by an incomprehensible old man yelling about NATO. Theo Vaughn, who hosted Trump on his podcast last year and attended his inauguration, also spoke out against war with Iran.
I don't trust the Israel leader at all. I don't believe anything that guy says. And I don't think that our soldiers should have to go and defend stuff that they start.
Sadly, the clip ends there because Theo Von's pager exploded. This guy, he went to dinner with Ivanka and Jared a month ago. I love the idea of Theo Von calling Ivanka with his concerns. And she's like, oh, sorry, Theo. How do I put this? Jared and I aren't human in the way you're thinking about it. On Wednesday, Trump said this when asked whether the U.S. was moving closer to a strike against Iran.
You don't know. I may do it. I may not do it. I mean, nobody knows what I'm going to do.
It's helpful at a moment like this to accept the block theory of the universe, in which the present is an illusion and the future is just as determined as the past. Will we go to war with Iran? If we will, we already have. And if we don't, we never would. You know about the block theory? No? Okay. This idea is, you know, time is just a dimension. We just have the illusion that we're moving through it, but really it's all fully determined. That time is just another dimension. It's just one we can't perceive. And in a sense, what's interesting, it's not that what we're doing right now is standing still. It's that we're moving through time at the speed of light. And in a sense, all of us are always moving at the speed of light. It's interesting to think about. Not funny, though. Make a note of that. And I have to say, Trump saying this, it's one of the few times where he's not bullshitting. Nobody ever knows what he's going to do. Remember when Trump reached into his pocket, pulled out a handful of Starbursts, and then threw them at German Chancellor Angela Merkel? Like, there's unpredictable, and then there's whatever the fuck that was. Speaking of not knowing what Trump is going to do hour to hour, last week, the Trump administration abruptly directed ICE to pause immigration raids at farms, hotels, and restaurants.
Our farmers are being hurt badly by, you know, they have very good workers. They've worked for them for 20 years. They're not citizens, but they've turned out to be, you know, great. And we're going to have to do something about that. We can't take farmers and take all their people and send them back because they don't have maybe what they're supposed to have.
We got to find the person who's doing this. But of course, Trump immediately reversed himself once Stephen Miller and fucking Kristi Noem got to him, with ICE officials telling staff on Monday that agents must continue conducting raids at farms, hotels, and restaurants. This is what I would call the dating in your early 20s strategy of governing. Talk through it logically with people you trust, have the breakthrough revelation, and then make the exact wrong decision 3 days later. The president reportedly did have this about face. What happened was he had been contacted directly by Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, who bypassed Miller and Noem to kind of relay what she was hearing from these kind of big agricultural companies, I suppose. Of course, Trump just says the last thing he fucking heard. And then Stephen Miller, I guess, gets back on the fucking yoke. And now we're back to where we were. Speaking of, on Monday, Stephen Miller busted out multiple over-the-top tweets about sanctuary cities, including this one. Sanctuary cities are engaged in a criminal conspiracy to obstruct, defy, and dismantle the federal laws of the United States in order to end the sovereignty of the United States. This is the crisis at hand. And I, for one, would just like to say...
Jonathan Lovett?
Yeah. Yes?
You left your spoon in the sink again.
Okay, guys, I just need to tell you all something. I did turn my guest house into an Airbnb,
right,
and it was rented by Stephen Miller.
Correct.
And I didn't want you to know. I tried to cancel. Really hope that nobody would find out.
Well, these people have found out, Jonathan. Your secret's out. All right? I posted a tweet about your spoon calumny, and I just wanted to make sure that you saw it, that all of you saw it.
Well, you know what? I actually haven't, because I'm kind of in the middle of something.
Well, we're all in the middle of something, Jonathan. I'm in the middle of transitioning fully into Nosferatu.
Oh, I see it. I just want you to, whatever, however you identify. Okay, thank you. Thank
Take
you for this.
Take that disgusting implement. Lucky for you, I printed out the tweet.
Oh,
and
wow.
I brought it with me.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
This is my tweet. Me, Stephen Miller. The unchecked decay in that sink is not merely an oversight. It represents moral collapse. A civilization cannot endure when basic duties are flouted with impunity by remorseless contributors to filth, decadence, and disorder. Jonathan.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, thanks, Stephen. Yeah, I guess there's nothing to do about the fact that you're here, so I'll just kind of put up with it.
Okay. And I should also mention that your towels have quite a mustiness.
All right, get out of here.
Not nearly musty enough for my liking.
Fucking Stephen Miller.
Boo.
Hope that doesn't happen two more times. On Tuesday, during an Armed Services Committee hearing, Secretary of Not Understanding That the Movie Starship Troopers is a Parody, Pete Hegseth, went toe-to-toe with Elizabeth Warren over deploying troops in U.S. cities.
If the Supreme Court orders you to remove troops from American cities, will you do so?
As I've said, Senator, I don't believe district courts should determine national security policy, but if the Supreme Court rules on a topic, we will abide by that.
Obeying the rule of law. I'll drink to that. Hegseth continued to be grilled by Congress this week over his leaked war chat and the ongoing reports of mismanagement and chaos within the Pentagon. Here's Senator Tammy Duckworth raking him over the coals.
You are blowing through money like my fellow cadets and I did in our first Liberty after basic camp. Luckily, I didn't end up with a questionable tattoo.
Only an awesome tattoo, continued Duckworth. Check this out, she said, before pulling up her sleeve to reveal two Tasmanian devils kissing. It's fucking awesome. And this wasn't even the best Duckworth moment. She pressed Hegseth on using the military not just for defense purposes, but for supporting the Homeland Security Department's immigration crackdown.
And if you want to be the HS secretary, maybe you can apply for that job when you're fired from this one due to your incompetence.
Over my dog's dead body, said DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono had this helpful observation.
If ordered by the president, I'm going to ask you once again, to shoot peaceful protesters in the legs, would you carry out such an order from the president?
Senator, as I've said before, of course, I reject the premise of your question and the characterization that I would be given or are given unlawful orders. It's all meant to attempt to smear the commander-in-chief,
again,
and I won't fall for it.
Considering that the president in his first term actually ordered such a thing, it is not a premise that you can reject.
Oh, you've caught me in a contradiction? I'm Pete Hegseth. We're on the brink of war with Iran. There are U.S. service members on the streets of an American city. I'm a weekend cable news anchor whose previous management is running not one but two nonprofits into the ground between marital affairs and displays of public drunkenness. It is inconceivable that I am in this job, and yet here I am. And where is the fucking waiter?
Jonathan!
Oh.
Jonathan!
Oh, no.
Is that a cheer? Sounds like a cheer to me.
You boo him. This is Stephen Miller.
Thank you. I love it. I love it. I eat it up with a spoon. Jonathan, I've returned. Friends of Jonathan, it's me, Stephen Miller. I've returned.
Oh, God. I can't believe this is happening a second time. That stinks.
It might even happen a third time, Jonathan.
It could potentially happen a third time.
All right?
It could potentially happen a third time.
Now, Jonathan, I want to make you aware of something.
What?
Tonight is indeed trash night.
Oh, shit.
And said trash has not been taken out, Jonathan.
I will do it when I get home.
I've heard it before, Jonathan, and it is far too late for those excuses. I've printed out yet another tweet.
Ah, fuck.
The breakdown of observance around civil rituals such as trash night reflect a larger erosion of the American way of life. We are drowning in the garbage of left-wing disunity, the abeyance of basic precepts of fairness, and our blood poisoned by the microplastics of Marxism. The trash must be taken out, and by trash, I mean both non-white immigrants.
All right.
And also my protein bar wrappers and so on, etc., or else all is lost.
Stephen.
Yes.
You gotta get out of here, man.
No.
I thought your rental ended yesterday.
Technically it did, but I extended it for another day. I wanted to take the TMZ tour. I saw Machine Gun Kelly. He looks fantastic.
God, I fucking hate that guy. Guys, boo Stephen Miller again. Sucks. Sucks seeing that guy. Hate having him in my Airbnb. It's a bummer. On Monday, Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr. announced the launch of a Trump-branded phone and cell service company. When I first heard Trump Mobile, I immediately thought, I mean, I guess he is mostly. Not sure about the ad slogan they landed on. Can you fear me now? I'm sorry. TrumpMobile.com posted images of the all-gold T1 complete with an American flag. The phone comes with preloaded useful tech shortcuts like meet me at the Capitol and I have a governor in my trunk. Speaking of bad ideas, in a 6-3 decision on Wednesday, the Supreme Court upheld Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for trans minors, which is fucking bullshit. You're already grinding in this dangerous job, coming home day after day, covered in soot, and now the government is going to say you can't even do it with a great set of fucking tits? We support trans minors. These trans minors keep our fucking lights on. Hard job. Let's see why we're standing in the way. I'm getting a nice pair of yayas. Make them happy. Grinding out for coal all the time. It sucks. Going down there, not feeling like themselves. Bullshit. The ruling ensured emboldened Republican state lawmakers to pass similar laws to prevent doctors and parents, along with teens, from making decisions about their own care. Not that they needed emboldening. Since 2021, 27 states have enacted laws that restrict gender-affirming treatments for trans youth. Great work. Trans teens will keep existing. You're just going to make our pride parades a little bigger and the staff of your Panera Breads a little less cool. We'll take them. Utah, which passed a ban in 2023, just got back the results from a study commissioned under the same law, which was meant to show that such care was harmful. Instead, Utah's own study concluded that gender-affirming care for trans youth led to positive mental health outcomes. Now, in response, this is interesting, Utah legislators nodded solemnly and said they learned a valuable lesson. No more studies. Huge blow, huge mistake. But of course, conservatives are ignoring the study. It's like RFK Jr. ignoring vaccine science. They don't want to see the truth. When you've got a warehouse full of ivermectin, every problem looks like a horse with a parasite. Meanwhile, Republicans last week made a last-minute change to Trump's Big Beautiful Bill before passing it in the House. In the original Big Beautiful Bill in the House, there was a ban on gender-affirming care for youth on Medicaid, but they just struck for minors so that it became a ban on Medicaid covering any transition care, period. That would affect hundreds of thousands of Americans. There's not that many trans fucking people. There's like 275,000 or so on Medicaid. A lot of the states already have bans or don't provide coverage for gender-affirming care through Medicaid. So this is really a punitive way to target a small subset of trans people on Medicaid who live in mostly blue states. So that's what they're getting up to. But that's how this always goes. You say it's aimed at children, but the reality is it's about adults. That's how we wind up with the vilest shit imaginable, like bans on trans healthcare or whatever the fuck is happening with Labubus.
Jonathan?
No, oh, shit.
Jonathan!
Yeah, okay.
Jonathan!
Fuck, get him.
Let me hear it. Please, let me hear it. I love it. No, I love
it. That's his fucking kink.
I like it.
That's
I actually enjoy it. I
That's
feast
his
off
kink.
It. Ouch. For some reason, that hurt. Now, Jonathan, the guest house toilet is clogged. Full, like bad.
How did you already drive to my house and right. back, let alone take a shit? You were here 4 minutes ago.
Time is a liberal fiction, Jonathan.
All right.
Anyway, here's the tweet that I wrote while I was on the toilet.
Great.
We all remember an America where toilets did not clog. But that America is gone, replaced by a crime ring of foreign-born plumbers who seek to humiliate us and marry our fertile wives.
Interesting.
This nation is threatened by a toilet catastrophe, and if we do not flush our radical socialist enemies down
the
toilet...
You know what?
Yes?
That's enough, you little freak.
What?
I wrote a tweet.
You did?
I wrote a tweet addressing this exact situation before the show.
Great. But did you print it out, Jonathan?
I did print it out.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Let's hear it.
First of all, you clog that toilet.
Mm.
And I have a great plumber, because I have to.
Mm.
Second, you are the perfect person to represent the Trump administration.
Thank you.
Like you, your little movement was on the outside. Look at you getting angrier and angrier, crueler, fantasizing about the day you'll be in charge, and now you're there.
Yes.
And still no one respects you.
Ouch.
And it also sounds like your wife left you for Elon Musk.
Well, I can't comment on that, but yes, she did. And why do you think I'm in your guest house?
Words have meaning.
Some.
You can describe Los Angeles as a war zone or immigrants as an invasion or standing up for our neighbors as a rebellion, but it doesn't like make it true. And nobody buys what you're saying because you don't know people.
Mm.
Like, you hate us.
I do.
You grew up here, but you don't know this city at
right.
all. You're still the same lonely loser from Santa Monica High School. And the only reason someone as broken as you could get anywhere near a position of power is because no one of any quality would get near Donald Trump.
Jonathan, you cut me to the quick. I'm going to write an Airbnb review that absolutely destroys you, Jonathan.
Hit me, freak.
I'll hit you, freak. Here's my review. 0 stars. The toilet was clogged and the wallpaper was gay.
C plus Santa Monica fascist Stephen Miller, everybody. That felt good. Boo, yay. The wallpaper is pretty gay. It's got pomegranates on it. That's some gay-ass wallpaper. With early voting underway in New York City's mayoral primary, a new Marist poll released Wednesday found that Andrew Cuomo still held a significant lead, but that progressive Assemblyman Zohran Mamdani was gaining momentum. The fact that Cuomo's still in the lead should prove once and for all that Cuomo's sexuality is not a choice. These people are born this way. Last week, Mamdani and Brad Lander, who's the controller, cross-endorsed each other.
In New York City, we have ranked choice voting. That means you can rank up to 5 candidates for mayor.
Brad and I are officially telling our supporters.
Rank me number one.
Rank Zohran number two.
Let's send Andrew Cuomo
back to the suburbs.
Just kids already. On Thursday, Karen Reed was found not guilty of murdering her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. Yeah, correct. The case became a TikTok sensation, with many convinced that Karen Reed had been framed. So basically, it seems like the cops tried to frame her, but that doesn't necessarily mean she wasn't responsible for the death. But because they tried to frame her for a crime she may have committed, the framing was enough to create the reasonable doubt so that she could go free. But that's not as fun for people because it's unsatisfying. It makes it harder to say that she should be on the next season of The Traitors. And that's what our society has become. And finally, an Italian museum released security footage seeking the identity of a tourist who pretended to sit on a crystal-encrusted replica of a historic chair, only to fall and crush it beneath him. Oh! Now, here's the question for all of you. How many of you, be honest, be honest. You can lie to me. It's worthless. Don't lie to yourselves. You telling anybody? Or are you walking the fuck out of that museum? What are you going to go find a docent? Many were furious at the tourists for making such an obvious blunder, trusting Italian manufacturing. Even more troubling, Italian officials are also seeking the identity of this dog who seems to be holding up the entire weight of the Tower of Pisa. Yeah, let's leave it on a visual joke for our Fuck It podcast. For the people at home, there's an adorable dog holding up the Tower of fucking Pisa. Holding up the Tower of Pisa. Coming up, Larry Charles, comedy legend, is here for a segment about nothing. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It brought to you by Hiya. Typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, filled with 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy additives growing kids should never eat. That's why Hiya created a superpower chewable vitamin. Hiya is made with 0 sugar and 0 gummy additives, yet it tastes great and is perfect for picky eaters. Hiya fills in the most common gaps in modern children's diets to provide the full body nourishment our kids need with a yummy taste they'll love. It's non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free. Every single batch is third-party tested, so you know the product is safe and nutritious. Hiya is designed for kids 2 and up and sent straight to your door, so parents have one less thing to worry about. John?
Yes. Charlie loves his Hiya vitamins, takes them all the time. I've got to make sure he gets all his vitamins and nutrients since he's on a spaghetti-only diet that he has imposed on himself. But he enjoys Hiya, and it's not super sugary, and, it's everything he needs, so we love it.
And are you tired of battling with your kids to eat their greens? Hiya now has Kids Daily Greens Plus Superfoods, a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Packed with 55-plus whole food ingredients to support brain power, development, and digestion, just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/loveit. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to HIYAHEALTH.com/LOVEETT. And get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage a man whose comedy legacy will haunt our nation's wives forever. The director of Borat, Bruno, Seinfeld, so much more, the legendary Larry Charles. Larry Charles, what an honor. Thank you for being here. That's great.
It's just the water.
And you know what? My hand's clammy from being Jewish.
Okay.
So it's fine.
Goodness.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Hi.
Congrats on the book.
Thank you very much.
It's about your journey through basically like so many of not just great, historic, iconic shows and movies, but ones that were transformative. And I just find that like interesting that I remember when I saw Borat in the theater, and it's strange and there's never been anything like it. And then all of a sudden you get to a naked fight in the hotel. And I felt like I don't even understand how this exists. Like, I don't understand how I'm living in a world where I'm watching something that looks so real and strange. And I'm just, when you're shooting that scene, what is the experience you're having?
The same as yours, actually. I mean, comedy, what I love about a scene like that is that it's just like you say, the audience couldn't possibly anticipate a scene like that. The audience doesn't know, you guys didn't know that you needed that scene until you saw that scene, you know? And I love that kind of surprise. The element of surprise is so rare in comedy these days. So much is predictable and derivative, and this kind of emerged kind of just out of the ether, and we didn't know it was funny either. And the guy who was with Sasha, Ken, who played Azamat, he kept saying, "What's funny about this? What's funny about this?" And we would just say, "Trust us, trust us," you know. So, and that's what we say to the audience too: trust us, you know.
So there are some comedy directors who want the set to feel funny, the making of it to feel funny, everybody having a great time. Nice. But then there are comedy directors, some of the greats, that say basically if everybody's laughing, having a good time on set, you're getting garbage on the screen. Right. What school are you in?
Well, actually, because I've done so many different things. I mean, something like Curb, you want a loose, fun set and people having a good time. So that is kind of a much more of a party atmosphere. But when you're doing Borat and you know the police are hovering and there are angry people around, you have to be super, super serious. So no one is allowed to laugh just in order to get the scene. So there is a very different kind of need to a Borat scene than, say, a Curb scene. And then the environments have to be completely different as well.
Yeah, right. Well, one's in a ballroom at a hotel with a bunch of horrified onlookers.
Real angry people, yes.
They were real angry people.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
But at some point, they've rolled through the hotel ballroom and they're out into the next part when you're not, I don't know if you're running and catching that. I don't know exactly how you're producing this. But at some point, you're now just standing there with a bunch of cameras in a ballroom with a bunch of freaked out people. You go like, well, thanks, everybody. That's a wrap. And we'll head out.
No, actually, we're running. We're running, too. Our cameras, and we are running. And we have one of the things that we do before we do the scene is it's almost like we case the joint rather than like scout a location, you know? So we know where the exits are, and we know where the vans are going to be parked, and we know at a certain point there's a good chance that we're going to have to run, and we're running for that exit and that exit and that exit, and there's a van waiting for us, and so we have to have all that stuff ready. We're not hanging around afterwards. We don't want people to question us, and unless the police catch us, which happened a few times also. You know, we had like about 150 police incidents on Borat.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Of all kinds, from regular police, local police, to like the Secret Service in Washington. We had everybody stopping us, questioning us, but there was only two arrests the entire time.
So you're brave.
Not bad.
Not bad. It's a 2 out of 150. It's pretty good.
They're both in jail still, but I mean, that's a separate.
So you're brave. There's bravery in you.
Or stupid. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not afraid. Now, is that the same thing as bravery?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not running into situations recklessly. I am just, from being from Brooklyn and being in a lot of confrontations in my life, I'm just not afraid. I know psychologically most people don't want violent confrontation, even if they threaten it. So for some reason in those situations, those violent situations, I get calm. Huh. I don't know why that is. That's just my sociopathic personality, perhaps. But I don't get afraid of those situations. And I've been, you know, I did this show where I was in Somalia and places like that, and I kind of get calm when things get really tense. I can't explain it.
When do you get really anxious?
Right now, before the show.
You get anxious?
Yeah. This freaks me out way more than Somalia.
Oh, well, that's very silly. The stakes here are so low.
I don't know why. Again, I can't explain my psychology exactly.
So I saw you talking about Seinfeld and about one of your favorite moments, which is when Philip Baker Hall, is it his name?
Yes.
Was doing this, the book guy, Mr.
Yes.
Bookman, or Detective Bookman
Lieutenant,
or something?
He was a lieutenant,
oh,
John.
Sorry, I don't want to take his rank down. But you said that you liked it because it was not the kind of thing that you would see in a sitcom. And, there's so many shows, especially now, that are just like everything else. But then there are also a lot of crap of people whose goal is to make something that's not like everything,
yes,
which is not enough of a reason to make something.
I agree with you.
And I'm curious how you think about that, where it's like you're bored by what is or what has been happening. So you want to kind of try to find something interesting to do that hasn't been done. But like that leaves open the reason people do things that have worked in the past is because it's hard to have taste when you can't imagine what it could be. And I'm just wondering how you think about taste in figuring out how to make something different that's still good.
Taste is a dangerous thing, I believe. I mean, you have to be willing to risk bad taste. You have to be, look at John Waters, I mean, who's one of my heroes. You have to be willing to step over that line, and you have to be willing to fail. Failure is a big part of the equation, you know? And in Seinfeld, we assumed we were going to fail, and therefore we had nothing to lose. And we wanted to just do a funny show. We thought it would get canceled after a few episodes, and we would go on our merry way continuing to be failures. And in a way, that was our liberation. And so we created something, you know, we worked on something and created something that was just funny for us. And it happened that we got lucky enough that the show stayed on the air long enough for the audience to discover it. Things like that usually don't happen. There's a lot of kind of accidents, happy accidents that led to Seinfeld becoming Seinfeld. It wasn't Seinfeld at one time. It was a show that was barely hanging on, a show that was losing to a show called Jake and the Fat Man. That was the show that was kicking our ass in the ratings at that time, you know?
I don't think there's any reason to cast aspersions about a quality piece of 90s programming, Jake and the Fat Man.
You're right. I love it myself. I watch it in reruns, so.
Because there's Jake, and he has his perspective.
Yeah.
But it's totally different from where Fat Man's coming from.
The Fat Man, you know, he's a cop with integrity. He just has a weight problem, that's all.
Yeah. If only that character was ever even given a name.
Yeah. He didn't like that either. That bothered him too.
Well, you know, when I should. There was a B. Arthur, you know, everyone, there's all this been like, you know, B. Arthur was mean on the set of Golden Girls and didn't get along with the other women on the set. And so I was like, of course she didn't. Every other character was made fun of their character's traits, right? Betty White is stupid. Blanche Devereaux is a slut. B. Arthur's character was ugly.
Right.
And they're like, you're an ugly bitch.
Yeah.
And she's like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
I still leave like this.
Yes.
That sucks.
Yeah. She's like that all the time and she can't help it.
Yeah. It was a weird thing to make central to her character. It's hard to go to work like that. It must wear on you.
It could have been three golden girls and an ugly bitch or something. And then the show would have been very different.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been kind. Has streaming been good?
Your segues are great, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Has streaming been good? I can't tell. In a way, everything is about economics, and that depresses me in a way. There's no real kind of originality. There's a need for all this programming to come out, constantly feeding the machine, you know? And I think that the good things get lost in the shuffle, and the bad things dominate, and it's really hard for an audience to delineate things because they're being inundated with stuff all the time, you know. So in a way, streaming is a way for these corporations, these media corporations, to come up with new ways to make money, you know. And so I don't have a great, affection for it. These algorithms, it's all. I'm very skeptical of the whole process.
Yeah, but the other side of it, right, is like. They're making a ton of stuff, and some of it is excellent, right? They are getting behind really interesting
stuff. It's hard to find that stuff, though.
Right, which kind of makes it... But that's the audience's fault, too.
That's
right?
True. Maybe you know, so. Maybe so.
Because it's there... You know, there's a...
I don't know if that's true, though. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, hit me.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, actually, because the brainwashing... The sophisticated brainwashing that goes on to manipulate you into watching something has reached a certain level now where the audience really almost can't make that choice. They think they're making a free choice, but they're actually being manipulated into thinking it's a free choice, and it's a choice that the corporations want them to make.
Wow. Do you believe in free will?
Thank you.
Wow, that was lackluster.
Because they want to go back and watch their shows.
Yeah. They're like, that's not why I watched Love Island. I watched Love Island because I'm a fully, complete, formed person. I have independent thoughts. I'm going to go home and watch Love Island.
Yeah.
Do you believe in free will?
No, I don't. I don't believe in free will. I think everything is sort of, we have certain choices, but I believe everything is like, as far back as you want to take it, you're being manipulated. Your mind is being conditioned constantly. And so the idea is you're supposed to think you have a free choice or free will, but really if you start to analyze all the strains and strands that have led to that choice, you realize it's a manipulation of some kind.
Okay, but that's why you got to not do that.
Oh, that's a revelation to me.
That was your mistake right there. Wait, hold on. Let me ask you this.
Yes, yes.
Okay. You're deciding in the morning whether to take the train or the bus.
Right.
You choose the train.
Yes.
Unbeknownst to you, the bus, it was broken down. It was never going to go. You were going to get to the bus station, turn around, go take the train anyway. But you chose the train. You never heard about the bus. Did you choose the train?
No, I don't think so. I think it's random. I think there's a lot of luck involved in our choices. And there are people that took the bus that day and had the broken down bus. So that day you made a good choice, but the next day you may not. There's no logic. There's no sort of consistency to that free will idea. You know, for the next day may be totally different. In fact, the next moment may be totally different.
Wow.
You've lost control.
I don't mind that.
Well, right. That may be okay. I mean, we have to live with that. We're here.
We are here.
Yeah. So we have to make a decision about whether we're going to accept that or not. Because if you fight against it, it's not going to really, you can't win that fight. Is this getting too bleak?
No. I don't mind it. It's just giving me a lot to think about.
Me too.
So you've worked with these different, you've worked with Sacha Baron Cohen, Jerry Seinfeld, Larry David, these extraordinary, talented Jewish guys.
Yeah.
What have you like, why are we so funny, you think?
It's a great question. I think I came from a part of Brooklyn that was like the Kingston, Jamaica of comedy. This part of Brooklyn, for some reason, generated a lot of great comedy talent from Mel Brooks and Lenny Bruce and Woody Allen and Larry David. And, you know, so many people came from that neighborhood. My latest theory on this is that there's a Talmudic tradition of Jews arguing with each other and trying to top each other about the Bible or the Torah or whatever it is. And in a way, that generated absurdities and laughter. When questions would be asked, there might be funny answers to those questions. And I kind of feel, and this is just a theory, that that might be the foundation for American Jewish comedy.
Interesting. I like to think about that. Whenever I go to like a deli in Los Angeles, like if I'll go to, you know, Nate Nowell's or go to Cantor's or one of the great delis, and I'll be there with like a Jewish friend of mine and we'll be just talking, just, you know, just Jews talk. We talk. Right. And I'll have this moment where I'll look over to another booth and I'll see two old men sitting in a booth doing the same thing. And I think, God damn it, I'm going to be doing this for 50 years.
Yeah.
And then somebody's going to see me in this booth.
Yes.
That's something nice about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This Talmudic tradition is a constant sort of back and forth. There's a contrarianism. There's a questioning, a constant questioning that goes on. Unfortunately, I think it's not as prevalent as it used to be. And that's why you see very bad decisions being made, like in Israel and places like that. But it's like at one time, that was a very crucial element of Jewish life, was the questioning of things. And maybe that's not so prevalent anymore.
Now, were you almost arrested in Jerusalem or attacked in Jerusalem?
I was
you
attacked. Were
speaking of Israel? Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened? Attacked.
We were doing Bruno and we had a very short bit that we wanted to film. And I wanted to go to the most Orthodox neighborhood to film it. Sasha was supposed to wear a kind of a Hasidic hot pants. And he had a jaunty Hasidic hat. And he was supposed to just walk from one corner to another. And the van was going to drop him off at that one corner and then pick him up at the next corner. And we thought this was no big deal. It'll be funny. You'll get some funny reactions. And as soon as he got out of the van in the hot pants, people came running from every direction with rocks and started throwing the rocks. And he was being stoned and he screamed out, "I'm a Jew," and that made it worse. People were throwing bigger rocks, you know, and we all scrambled in different directions. And all I ever cared about was getting the scene. And I wanted to make sure it was being filmed and I wanted to make sure our cameraman was getting it. And so he and I kind of stayed behind while everybody else scattered. And eventually I was surrounded by a bunch of extremely angry Hasids holding rocks, ready to stone me at this close to me. And again, being from Brooklyn and used to the confrontation and not being freaked out about it, I had a monitor about the size of this thing, and I held it up to them. And I said, "I will crack your fucking skull. You know, if you throw that, you might kill me, but I'm going to kill you," you know, basically. And they all backed off. And the van came, and I jumped in the van, and I got away. And we got the scene. The scene is in the movie. Hey, thank you.
Speaking of
for me being alive.
Yeah, flattery sure. Live. Yeah. If you kill me, I'll kill you is also right. A part of the tradition.
Right.
Very timely.
The eye for an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tradition. Tradition.
And you know what that sound means? It's time for a segment we're calling 10 Buck Yucks.
Okay.
You said in your memoir that when you started out, you would sell jokes on the street. Was it in Los Angeles or
yes.
New York? In Los Angeles.
In front of the Comedy Store.
For $10, which adjusted for inflation would be $40,000 now. we're gonna share some classic jokes, and you'll tell us how many dollars you think these are worth up to.
Is this today's dollars?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
okay.
Current. Yeah, sure. Real current dollars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Post tariff dollars.
Right. Got it.
First joke. I've been in love with the same woman for 50 years. If my wife ever finds out, she'll kill me.
Seven.
Seven. Okay.
Yeah.
Why do divorces cost so much? They're worth it.
I would say that's no more than $650, really.
$650.
Not as good as the other one.
A young Jewish man goes to his father and says, "Father, can you lend me $40? His father shakes his head and says, "$30? What do you need $20 for?"
I love that one.
Yeah, I would give the $30 for that.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's good.
That has so much original construction, and it's a clever joke.
This one's one of my favorites, which is two old Jews are sitting side by side talking. One Jew toads the other and says, "Hey, you getting any on the side?" And the other Jew says, "They moved it."
That's not bad.
I told that joke to a rabbi on this stage.
Did he take a swing at you?
Women can be rabbis now.
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't like it.
No.
Let's see what we got. A speeding car hits an elderly Jewish man crossing the street. The paramedics rush to his aid. Says one, "Sir, are you doing all right?" Said the man, "I make a living."
Yes. Well, that's a $100 joke. That's a classic.
That's a classic. Let's do one more.
Okay.
Let's do one more. A Jewish mother and her son are walking on the beach when a tremendous wave hits the shore, sweeping the son out to sea. You already know this one.
Yeah.
You already know this one. The mother calls to the heavens, "God, please, he's my only child, the light of my life. Bring him back to me, and I promise we'll go to synagogue every week. No, every day." With that, an even bigger wave crashes against the sand, depositing her son alive and well directly in front of her feet. The mother looks up at the sky and says, "He was wearing a hat."
Also a great joke. It takes the construction of it. I love the structure, so I'll give that $100 as well.
So then you'll appreciate that Senator Mike Lee, who is despicable, when he said about the shooter in Minnesota and tried to blame it on the left, "Nightmare on Walt Street," that is a despicable construction.
Yes.
That is disgusting.
Yes.
Because it's Nightmare on Elm Street, maybe Wolf of Wall Street. His name is Walls. What the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah. Well, obviously not a Jew. I mean, that's why.
And that's such an important part of it.
If Chuck Schumer... If Chuck Schumer had made that joke, it would work.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
He could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
All right, give it up for Larry Charles.
Thank you.
The book is Comedy Samurai.
Yes.
Everybody check out all these amazing stories.
Do I stay here now?
Yeah, stay. You'll stay there.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, Larry and I are joined by Chinadu Anaka and Adam Lustig.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It, brought to you by Mint Mobile. You know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning your beach trips, barbecues, and three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. With plans starting at $15 a month, Mint Mobile gives you premium wireless service on the nation's largest 5G network. The coverage and speed you're used to, but way less money. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Work, use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your own phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. Crooked Media's own Nina switched to Mint Mobile last year.
She says she gets
crystal clear service and the data speeds are excellent. And best of all, she's paying a fraction of what she was paying on her old plan with one of the big wireless companies. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/love it. That's mintmobile.com/love it. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
And we're back. please welcome to the stage the hilarious Chinedu Inaka, and for the first time this evening, the amazing Adam Lustig. Hi. Nice to meet you, Harold Gray. Nice to meet you. All right.
Hey, good to see you.
Hey,
Larry. Good to see you again.
Man, yeah. We realized backstage, I mean, Adam had been on the show in 2018.
Yes, pre-COVID for sure.
Back when we were doing this,
yes.
Back at the Improv,
right.
During the first time Donald Trump was fucking president,
yes.
Dealing with Stephen Miller,
yes.
And here we are.
Yes.
Right back at it.
Where we started.
Still grinding away. Chinedu, thank you for being here. Welcome to the show.
Nah,
how you doing?
Thank you guys for having me. How's everybody doing?
Hey, yo, hey.
Y'all look good, man.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too, Joe.
Adam, you're Jewish, right?
Very. Yeah. Yeah, very.
So it's three Jews and you.
Yeah, we kind of have you surrounded.
Yeah, it's not my first time.
It's not his first Shabbos.
That's exactly right.
We almost have a minion. No, not really. We're far from a minion. This week, there's been a ton of news.
Yeah.
Wave after wave of news. The kind that drags you along the sand and tears your bathing suit bottoms off in front of the hottest lifeguard.
Been there.
Been there. Anyway. We like to keep our listeners as informed as possible, which is why I'm going to ask you all to square off in a segment we're calling News It or Lose It.
Ooh. I like that.
There it is.
There it is.
News it or lose it.
Okay.
Sometimes I gotta bully him a little bit.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's not on TV, this show? Where am I wrong? You've gotten so many good things on TV.
I'm stunned, actually. This belongs on TV.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
That's going on a poster.
That's the poll quote.
For the podcast.
This is more entertaining than most of what's on TV.
Yeah.
You know that yourself, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Sure.
Well, I was fishing for a compliment. I
got one.
Caught a big one.
Caught
All
a
right.
big one.
First question. This week, an American man and presumably voter, Chris Smith, talked to CBS News about falling in love. Let's roll the clip.
Oh.
I'm not a very emotional man, but I cried my eyes out for like 30 minutes. At work. It was unexpected to feel that emotional, but that's when I realized, I was like, oh, okay. It's like, I think this is actual love. You know what I mean?
Think I know what he means.
Who did this man fall in love with?
Oh, I'm Trump.
Slightly smarter.
Okay.
I will say, let me reframe the question. What did this man fall in love with?
What? Oh.
A bot? A bot of some kind?
Like AI woman?
Yeah, you got it.
No, really?
Yeah.
This man is talking about being in love with Chat GPT.
Hey, Chat's a smooth talker,
wow.
Though.
That's right. Chris Smith, who used his name and whole human face on the news, talked to CBS this morning about his AI ChatGPT girlfriend, whom he programmed and then fell in love with, despite having a human girlfriend with whom he has a 2-year-old daughter.
Oh, wow. Jerry.
Oh, my goodness.
Chinedu, where are you on AI lovers or platonic? Where are you on AI?
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the middle, because if I was to find out my girl was cheating on me, I would love it to be AI. And I could forgive that. And if she wants, we could invite that person in.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we could have a laptop up at the Cheesecake Factory. I'm not. I'm cool. You know what I mean? I'm open to that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So progressive of you.
100%.
That's really
100%.
Forward thinking.
Yeah. And then you never have to worry about sharing those sliders.
That part. You know what I mean? So I think we're headed that way in some ways. I hear there's a loneliness epidemic out there too. So if that helps people from doing like crazy stuff, I'm all for it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
No, I'm with you.
I think maybe like first people could like join a bowling league. You know,
with other human beings.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's a fee.
There's a fee. Yeah, there is a fee.
Yeah.
For the bowling league, but maybe we can come up with some sort of loneliness rate if you prove how sad you are.
Scout.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a pretty good idea.
So you're against the idea of a human having a relationship with AI.
I Wow, you're really putting it to me.
Yeah. Pro or against, John? Pro or against?
I mean, not that he's cheating on his girlfriend in a way, emotionally. Yeah.
He should have told her.
Assuming everything was clean, what's wrong with that relationship?
Right.
Because I get excited when a self-check line is empty. Just a little bit.
It feels kind of romantic.
Just a little
bit. It's kind of romantic. Yeah.
Say, hey, babe.
Please put your stuff in the bag.
You know what, Larry? Thank you for asking that question. I think I don't have a specific problem with the final moment of having a relationship with AI. What makes me worried is all the things that went wrong before the person sat at that computer. And it's a broken world, a sad world, where people are not finding this with human beings. And it's and it may be that person's fault. They may have terrible qualities.
Yeah.
But it also is part of the problem of how we live right now, which is a world they didn't build.
Yeah.
It's unfair to them. And so there's a convenience. It's a little bit like streaming, right? Like it is a better night. A night where you go out to dinner, go to the movies, have a drink after and go home. But it is that moment where you decide not to do that feels awesome. Yeah. You know? Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm just going to watch Real Housewives. Yeah. It's going to be so fucking good. But if you do that over and over again, you chose this thing that you thought you wanted over and over and over again. But at the end of the week, you'd be a happier person had you done the harder thing sooner. And we live in a world where it's so much easier to choose the easy thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that makes me sad.
Yeah.
That's the illusion of free will as well.
Fuck.
Whoa. Wow.
That's real. He got me.
Whoa.
He got me. Yeah.
Seems like a nice guy. He seems happy. So I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I love.
He didn't seem happy.
He
didn't seem happy. He was crying and he was like being very weird, actually.
That's not what happy looks like? Yeah. No idea.
Next up, Republic Airlines CEO and commercial airline pilot Brian Bedford, Trump's nominee to head up the FAA, was in the spotlight this month, not just because his nomination is going to a vote on June 25th, but because Politico and the Air Current. Fun name for an air, you know, for a newspaper about air stuff. The Current.
Very clever.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. They revealed he does not actually have this. What doesn't he have? He doesn't have something he said he had.
An AI wife.
A pilot's license?
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, really?
That's
a pilot's license.
That's it. Yeah. He doesn't have a pilot's license.
Yeah.
His official biography claims he's certified to fly commercial flights, but Politico discovered he does not actually have a commercial license of any kind. The Department of Transportation said in a statement, Brian never misrepresented his credential. It was an administrative error that was immediately corrected. Though he did admit he does not have a commercial license in a questionnaire released on Monday.
Is there a shortage of pilots?
There is.
Well, then, you know, sometimes you got to bend the rules a little bit. We got places to be.
What the market demands.
Yeah.
He should borrow Nathan Fielder's.
The planes are flying itself.
Nathan Fielder is actually more qualified for that job than this guy.
What did you think about? Nathan Fielder to me feels like a kind of whatever heir to the Borat kind of gonzo comedy thing. Mm. Like when you watch Nathan Fielder fly, this is a spoiler alert for, well, I guess you've already, fuck it. Are you going to watch the rehearsal?
Yeah.
Well, when you watch it, he does things that you see and you think, I cannot believe I'm watching this.
I agree.
Do you feel like that's like the legacy of Borat?
I think he's taken it to a very different place. I thought that was an extremely original show. We're talking about all the glut of stuff on streaming. That show stood out to me. There's nothing like that show. Just like this one. There's nothing like it.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
I really thought.
God, wow. I didn't fish for that one. That fish jumped right in the boat. That's like one of those flying fish that aren't supposed to be there. That was an Asian carp. I got hit by an Asian carp like of a compliment. And I loved it.
Like a staff fish fillet, you know, free food.
It's like it's a koi pond of comedy.
Yeah, that was right. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Next question. Which two basketball teams are squaring off this? What's funny about this show is we have the most specific arcane questions about the news. And this question is, what two basketball teams are in the NBA finals?
Okay.
Yeah.
We were talking about this backstage, Sean. Yeah, I should warn you.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yes.
These guys know.
Yes. Yeah. It's OKC and
the Indiana Pacers.
Yes. 100. Two small market teams.
That's right.
Yeah. Great series, but the viewership has been one of the lowest since.
Really?
Yeah, just because there's no like big stars, but I mean, exactly. I'm enjoying myself.
Yes, we're enjoying it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Anybody else watching? It's just us?
Any rooting interest? Yeah, of course.
My man.
Do you want to know who won?
No, shut the fuck up.
Spoilers, please.
I deleted four group chats today. Yes.
They have been so neurotic about this backstage. You have no idea.
And thank you for asking.
Yes, thank you for asking.
Now, you know what? Honestly, I want to say I apologize for how I reacted. I got pretty heated on their behalf because I'm like a freak about spoilers. You know, like I watch soccer now.
Cool.
I've made, you know, it's I can't believe it's happened, but I do. I watch soccer now. I go to Angel City games in LA all the time and I love it. And I'm really learning about it.
Yeah.
Like I found out what offsides was.
Yeah.
Did you play?
No.
I coached soccer.
You coach soccer?
I know nothing about soccer. But when I was a teacher, they needed a soccer coach. And so they're like, you're athletic. I was like, all right, bet. And so I coached soccer for a season.
That's cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, you pick it up.
Or you make them up.
Yeah, you pick it up.
How old were the kids?
The middle school.
Middle school?
Low stakes.
Boys or girls?
Boys.
So they're just at the age where they're kind of like.
And they were good.
They were good?
Yeah, it's more yelling encouragement. Keep doing that.
Nice. Yeah. Keep it up.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you teach?
I taught special education, math and English. Yeah, mouse and model. Yeah. Appreciate that. Yeah, man. Wow.
Where'd you do that? Where were you teaching?
LA. I taught in LA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
What do you think about someone who had such a meaningful and important work with kids?
I'm very impressed with it.
Yeah, because while you were fucking off with jokes.
Exactly.
I was doing jokes, dude.
He was doing jokes. He was doing jokes, but he was like helping kids
in
a school, coaching these kids, teaching them about the fucking world. And you're like, Sasha, why don't you tell this store clerk that he's an idiot?
Yeah.
But to be fair, real mad. Yeah.
But we're here together. So that's right. That's the nice thing about it.
I used to warm up the class with like crowd work and stuff.
Did you?
So, yeah. So, yeah.
What else? You guys see these globes?
These pogs. This guy, what about these pogs?
He'd ask them where they're from, but he knew where they're from.
Right, yeah. Anybody you're dating? All right. Next question. Despite being in charge of vetting thousands of administration employees, Trump's director of presidential personnel, Sergio Gore, hadn't completed his own vetting process, refusing to turn in the 100-page background dossier required for a permanent security clearance. This week, the former Ron Paul aide refused to answer what personal question when contacted by the New York Post. Is it A, are you married? B, what country were you born in? C, did you graduate high school? D, did you DJ Matt Gaetz's wedding?
I'm going for all the above.
I'm going to go for D.
The Matt Gaetz's wedding?
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that he refused to answer, are you married?
All of you are wrong.
Oh.
He didn't answer what
it
country.
It wasn't one of the questions that was on the card.
It was, what country were you born in? Apparently, reports say he brags about being born in Malta. The Maltese official contacted by the Post could not find any record of his birth happening in the small country of just over 500,000 people, saying in a statement, no acts are registered with these provided details.
Mm. And his last name is Gore?
His name is Gore. And by the way, he did DJ
Mackey.
Sound like something he would do.
My God. Right there. Terror.
So you mean Kid Rock's real name is Low Gore?
Boy. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's under a pseudonym.
Right.
Former White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney expressed his concern to the press this week over where the president would land his helicopter after Trump unveiled two new what?
Where Trump would land his helicopter after he unveiled two new
what would stop him from landing his helicopter?
Oh,
a helipad.
Well, that would make it easier.
Yeah.
Maybe ankle braces.
Oh. It was two flagpoles on the north lawn, one on the south lawn. He put in these giant fucking flagpoles.
What a loser, man.
For what?
Why?
Why?
The pole is so thick.
Because he's a fucking asshole.
Right.
That's why. Yeah. Because he's a bored,
so
old
bored.
Idiot.
He's just like reorganizing the whole.
Yes.
Like, don't you have work to do?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Here's what he said about it. It is my great honor to announce that I will be putting up two beautiful flagpoles.
Oh, God.
On both sides of the White House. It is a gift from me. Something which was always missing from this magnificent place. It was not missing. There is a flagpole on top of the White House. It is famously where the American flag flies, above the fucking White House.
Prominently featured.
But because he has the same fucking intellectual capacity as a child that is not able to understand that when you do peekaboo, the person remains because he can't see the flag out the window.
Correct.
It doesn't fucking exist.
Correct.
He can't conceive
permanence.
Of other people seeing a world where he is an object and that can see the flag on top of the building, so there are no flags.
Yeah. main character
maybe,
syndrome.
Maybe he actually went blind when he looked at the eclipse.
That's why the flags have to be so big.
That's right.
Yeah. They come bigger in front of him.
Right
can't
in front
see
of him.
It.
Yeah. Right in front of him because he stared at that stupid eclipse.
Every single dumb, impulsive, idiotic decision that he makes, it is just terrible. Like the amount of bureaucratic paperwork that has to follow. Like now they have to find new places to land. It's like, so it has real consequences for real people trying to do real
and this,
work.
This is tough for the next president because you want to remove the flags, but. The news coverage are moving.
Yeah. Oh, taking down the flag?
What part?
The flag that our troops fight for? Exactly. You piece of fucking shit.
I'm adding it to the roof.
That's right. No, the flags are not being. Now, then there's like a. This is how the Democrats would handle it.
Yes.
Then there'd be like the press secretary would say, like, there's a lot of misinformation that President Buttigieg is removing American flags. There's a lot of misinformation that President Klobuchar is removing the flags. Obviously, as the president said, the flags are being moved to a museum.
Yes.
And it'll be going from school to school.
Yes. Well, they'll be touring until you lose
one
track.
One of them is for the Confederate flag.
Right, one of them will be for the Confederate flag, of course.
I'm sure he pitched it.
Yeah, exactly.
This week, the New York Times is reporting that the Trump administration is considering overturning the ban on this outlawed building material, which is prohibited in over 50 countries due to its link to lung and other forms of cancer.
Well, that's asbestos.
Asbestos.
They're going to take. They want us. They're bringing asbestos back.
Make asbestos great again.
Make America cancerous again.
That's exactly.
When I graduated from college, I worked as a temp paralegal, and my job was filling out the paperwork for people trying to access those funds for methicillin. You know the advertising on the subway that's like, if you have mesothelioma, call this number.
Yes.
I was at the other side of that process, filling out the forms in a windowless room with an improv person, a baker, and like all of us sitting just being like, where are we? What is this nightmare? It was very like Brazil, like we're the movie Brazil, not the country Brazil, but like the where we were in a windowless room, and then a legal aide would come by with a cart with a certain stack of paperwork. And our goal was to get to the bottom of our stack before she came with more, but it was fucking random.
Yeah.
It was random.
Right. That is very Brazil-like.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't teach kids.
I mean,
no.
We're all teaching in one way.
Right.
Exactly. You know?
Adam, you're working on a YouTube channel that's about explaining issues like this.
Yes.
To people.
Yes.
Called Now What?
It's called Now What? And it is a kind of animation comedy initiative that was started by these two wonderful people, Brendan Birch and Wendy Willis, who used to work at this great animation company, Six Point Harness. And they kind of launched it before the election to help get Kamala elected. So that worked. That was good. But they've been, making a lot of wonderful animated shorts, trying to sort of like, get the youth out to vote and be informed about things like the gun control and what's really in the big, beautiful bill and the housing crisis, et cetera. So
It's
been really great.
That's great. Yeah. And, just because I thought it was funny, there was apparently an episode of Two Broke Girls in 2013 where they added jokes on the day of the shoot to make fun of your baldness.
Correctamundo. Yeah, that's right. Yes, exactly right. Yeah. It was one episode. We were at a diner. I was supposed to be like sort of a shitty boyfriend or something. That was like the bit of the scene, I guess. And on the day, they were like, oh, this would be great. Like, really poke fun of him. And I believe the line they added, it was something along the lines of, I can't remember, I'm going to butcher it, I think.
You're going to butcher a Two Broke Girls line? Go for it.
A Two Broke Girls line from 13 years ago. But anyway, sorry, I can't even remember. But yes, they did. They went out of their way to sort of mock my baldness in the scene. So sort of, it's my calling card, I guess.
So that's it.
Yeah.
That was their first time doing it on the show?
The having a bald person on the show?
Were you recurring?
I was in that. It was one scene. Oh, I was just in the one. I had never been on the show before or
but
since.
That wasn't a script when you auditioned.
Correct.
And they threw that on you when you got there?
Yeah, he's bald. That's maybe put up. Some jokes in about that. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Tell
yeah.
me that before I say
did
yes.
Did they ask you?
No. I was such a good sport and it was, yeah. I was.
Yeah, of course. I'm going to say yeah, too.
Of course, obviously. Yeah. What are you going to do?
But inside, I'm like, you mother.
Exactly. That's right.
My mom's watching this.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you have done that to Adam?
Larry?
Well, Larry David, I mean, was an openly bald person, so...
Yeah, yeah. Yes. He really broke down that, right. that highest, hardest bald ceiling.
What? Right, and so we had somebody in the show. We had Two Broke Girls, yes. We had a regular character in the show who was bald.
Yes.
Chinadu, you won the game.
Wow, Chinadu, congratulations, man. Congrats,
you won the game. You know why he won the game?
Because he's a teacher.
Because he was a fucking teacher.
He was a teacher.
Because he's a teacher. Well, you were doing your little jokes about your appearance at you.
At me.
And Larry was like, I don't know, maybe they could talk about nothing. You were helping.
He's helping people.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Sundays. Sundays is fresh dog food made from a short list of human-grade ingredients. Sundays was co-founded by Dr. Tori Waxman, a practicing veterinarian who tests and formulates every version of each recipe. Sundays contains 90% meat, 10% superfoods, and 0% synthetic nutrition or artificial ingredients. Nice of that doctor to test all these different dog foods.
I know.
She must find them to be delicious. Dog parents report noticeable health improvements in their pups, including softer fur, fresher breath, better poops, and more energy after switching to Sundays. Well, our dogs love Sundays.
Leo runs to the bowl.
Runs to the bowl. Run, don't walk to the bowl. Unlike other fresh dog food, Sundays does not require refrigeration or preparation because of their air drying process. Just pour and serve. That's huge. Because the refrigerating, it's like, what are we doing here? All right. They're animals that live in our houses.
Mm-hmm.
The food should come in a bag.
Yep.
This dog would eat cheese out of a diaper. What are we doing? When you start a Sunday subscription, you automatically get 20% off of free shipping on every reorder. Cancel or pause your subscription anytime with our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Every order ships right to your door, so you'll never worry about running out of dog food again. It's very easy to store. It's very easy to serve. Look, obviously, I would do anything for Pundit. I'd kill for Pundit, so that's why it's so great to have Sundays.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You know? Get 40% off your first order of Sundays. Go to sundaysfordogs.com/love it or use code love it at checkout. That's sundaysfordogs.com/love it. Code love it.
And we're back.
Hey!
Before we get to the end of the show, if you need a moment to escape from the chaos, subscribe to our Friends of the Pod subscription to unlock Terminally Online. It's a subscriber-only show where Cricket hosts and staff dive headfirst into the internet's wildest corners. In the latest episode, I'm joined by Cricket's own Kirill, Kendra, and Elijah. I'll be talking about something that I have been a little bit obsessed with, which is, so you know how on TikTok, the algorithm that Larry loves, mm-hmm. it is constantly showing us people fighting in public spaces, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Those do really well. They get a lot of audience.
Yeah.
People are renting out in Los Angeles and the area planes, sets, staging fucking fights,
I've seen these.
And then posting them to get rage clicks. So if you're on like social media and you see like, oh, a MAGA person and a liberal fighting on a plane, mm-hmm. that might be a set.
Wow. Yeah.
that's the rabbit hole I'm going down.
Yeah, yeah. The acting is not great though, so
you can kind of smell a fake.
They're getting quickly. Worse. They're getting yeah. worse. They're getting yeah. cheaper and they're getting worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, subscribe at crooked.com/friends. All right, we are recording this show on Juneteenth, a day that marks the release of the last American slaves 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. In the spirit of something that that's better late than never, we're each going to share something great we found too late in a segment we're calling the Late Night Rate Wheel. So in this wheel, we're just going to talk about something we discovered too late, but better late than never, you know? Let's see the wheel.
Wow.
Oh,
Chinadoo.
Something that's late, but it's good. I don't know if this is everywhere, but I've been seeing it more often. You know that when you put the parking meters, mm-hmm. now they have a QR code that you could pay.
Yeah.
You don't have to come back.
Yes.
Yeah. When you run out of time, you don't have to go. Now you could pay wherever you are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Huh. And so now I feel like I'm getting way less parking tickets for that reason. And so I think that's a good thing. But I wonder, that technology was available a long time ago. And I wonder who pushed that through. And whoever did should be running for president.
Kudos.
Yeah. That is better to have the QR codes. I saw that the other day. It was cool.
Yeah.
God, I wonder what kind of convoluted, hell-like process it took to get those QR codes onto those parking meters in Los Angeles.
You know, because the money's in the ticket, not in the actual meter. You know?
With different budgets, too. You know, it's like, you know, there's somebody who's got to want to try to get any money for the tickets. You know what's been driving me crazy in Los Angeles lately? Is anyone else noticing that more and more cars have darker and darker tinted windows, that it's getting out of control?
Yes.
It is getting out of control. It's the middle of the day. These are just pitch black windows.
Yes. Yeah.
And I worry about what it's like at night, but it's like, hey, part of the code of being fellow human beings is I need to see that you see that I see you.
Correct.
For getting in.
Right.
What the fuck?
And totally.
The
Uber?
No, just
generally
just driving around. Yeah. All the cars have tinted windows, and like their windshields are tinted now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. What's going on?
I think,
people are doing weird things.
Yeah, they're
in
digging
car.
Boogers. Yeah, usually.
Usually boogers, I think.
That's why I pick my nose.
No.
Do you have tinted windows?
No. I pick my spots good.
That's confidence.
Yeah.
That's knowing yourself.
Well, he was a teacher.
He was a teacher.
Does it?
I do think there's a connection between the tinted windows and the people falling in love with ChatGPT. I can see a connection.
Yeah, it's happening inside the cars.
Yeah. It is, and that's the connection. Yes. It's what's happening inside the vehicles themselves. It's like, I don't need tinted windows, and I'm going to McDonald's in the morning. And I am doing the double cheeseburger, second double cheeseburger for $1, and then eating them both.
In the morning, John?
Well, after 11.
Right.
Yeah. Why, should I get the fucking salad at them?
I don't think they even have
it
anymore.
I'm going to get the salad at the office. That's why I have to have the burgers on the way. Those are my secret burgers to make the salad possible. Let's spin it again.
Hey,
Larry, what's something that you came to or that came to you better late than never?
Well, you know, I thought about this question so deeply that I actually wrote something down.
Wow.
And I'm even going to take my glasses off.
Yeah.
And this is not particularly a funny one. And I'll just read it. The things that I feel are late still haven't come. I would call these things too late. Mm. That's how late they are. The end of the Palestinian genocide. No matter when it happens, it's going to be too late. Mm. Mm-hmm. We led the coup in Iran in 1953 that ousted their democratically elected leader and replaced him with a stooge, the Shah of Iran, which led to the Islamic Revolution. And now we're still meddling in their business and going to war with them along with Israel. Like, no matter when that ends, mm-hmm. it's too late. You know, gay marriage was passed, but now it's in danger of being taken away along with trans rights. You know, so even though those things came along, now they're being repealed. You know, that's the environment we're in. The climate, And of course, the end of Trump. No matter when Trump ends, in whatever form he ends, it's going to be too late. So that's my...
Yeah, it's true.
Any
it's
kids?
True.
And I wrote kids. It down.
And I'm glad you did.
I could never have done it otherwise.
Let's spin it again.
I wonder who it could possibly be. Oh my God, it's me.
It is Len Adam.
So this is something that is, I feel like late, maybe not for me personally, but more for the culture, which is the lionization of Paul Rubens. I love the Paul Rubens yes. reputational repair.
Yes.
I feel like, I don't know if you, I don't know him personally, but of course Pee Wee meant the world to us and all. I think I speak for all of us in saying it meant the world to us. Yeah. And by all anecdotal accounts and by all whatever, he was just like a menschy, lovely, caring, thoughtful, silly, kind man who was, as we all know, like, you know, infamously busted for masturbating in a porno theater, which is kind of like being busted for bowling in a bowling alley, I guess. But and I just am happy that better late than never, he is sort of getting the kind of reputational whatever that I feel like is long deserved.
That's
I'm
a good
huge
one.
Fan.
That's
yeah.
a,
it's a really good one.
Good one.
And,
it,
yeah. you know, and to what we were talking about earlier too about just doing something no one else had done before, and just there was a story. I'm losing her name, which is because I'm remembering from the fly, but she was the mail person on Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse before she was ever on Law and Order, and it was her first day and. Pee Wee Herman was just making her crack up.
Yeah.
Like she was just losing it. She was laughing. She couldn't stop laughing. And she's like trying to keep it together. He kept doing new stuff to make her laugh. He was laughing, having a great time. And the director who was directing this thing just kept saying, "We're going to lose it. You've got to get it. You've got to get it." He's getting more and more angry. And she turns to Paul Rubens and it's like, "Hey, you keep making me break. Please just stop looking at me. You're going to make me laugh. I'm going to lose this job. They're going to fire me." And Paul Rubens just goes, "That's up to me." It's like such a good story.
So good. Yeah,
that's great.
It's my decision.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Let's spin it again. it is
This wheel is rigged. Am I right?
I think it is rigged.
It is a bit rigged. It's also it forces you to ask, what purpose does it serve?
We could just take turns without it.
We could potentially just take turns without it. But it adds a little something.
It's
Hollywood. We're in Hollywood.
Nice.
We used to make things here.
We used to make things
here. Here's what I came late to. I came late to the whole, I've talked about it, but Real Housewives. I came late to it, and I love it so much. I cannot believe how entertaining it is. It's got its hooks in me.
Yeah.
It is some of the best. The writing is as good as any writing. The acting is as good as any acting. The stories are as good as any stories. It is fucking incredible. Every episode has a line where if you saw it in a scripted drama or comedy, you think that is one of the funniest, most creative things I've ever heard. Just coming out of these fucking women's mouths.
Yeah.
And it rules. And I love it. I'm going to try to interview them as much as possible now. Yeah. And their stories are now going to be infused into everything I do. And that's become part of my identity. Yeah. The Real Housewives are part of my identity. We just finished all the way through New York. Now we're back at Beverly Hills from the jump. Well, oh my God. Yeah. I didn't know Lisa Vanderpump was British. I found that out this fucking week. British Vanderpump? Yeah. Where's their money from? It can't be from restaurants. That house is too big for it to have come from restaurants. It's a tough business, the restaurant business.
Yeah.
It's low margin.
Yes.
If it rains, you lose the whole fucking day.
It's crazy.
It's too much house for restaurants. I also came late to the plug for Chinadu's special.
Yeah.
Which is your special's on Hulu on July 11th.
July 11th, yep.
But you could see him 24/7 on Instagram.
Yeah. not 24/7. I don't know. But usually, 3 days out the week, I might post something or share something.
Right. I guess it's, you're not there 24/7, but we could be.
Yeah, facts.
Right,
facts.
Exactly.
We could be there anytime.
100%.
That's the thing about Instagram.
I'm on it. I'm not posting often. But if you DM me, I'll see it.
Wow.
And I respond.
That's sweet.
I'm like, yeah, man. Appreciate it.
I like that. Yeah. They all have these little tiny fucking dogs.
Oh, housewives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not, I, not I people on Instagram.
About no dogs yeah. on a special.
All right, everybody, check out Jenadu's special. Check out Adam's work for Now What. Everybody, check out Larry's book, Comedy Samurai: 40 Years of Blood, Guts, and Laughter, in equal true. Measure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's our show. All right. One more time for Larry Charles, Chinadu Inaka, and Adam Lustig. We will see you next week at the Elysian Theater.
Nice.
There are 500 days until the midterms. Fuck. Have a great night. Have a great weekend.
Scrolling endlessly, which we know you are. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer, and Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Coffin, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Will Miles are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Schercher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.